Tandem Nomads, episode 9.
Crazy. It's crazy. From one day to another one, you don't have money in your pocket. Okay, you do have money in your pocket because it's your husband's money. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're married and everything. Yeah, everything in paper sounds good. But your inside is such a mess. Even though my husband was like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. You know, you have, there's money enough for both. And even though I had personal financial security, I felt really insecure and I felt so stressed. Really, really stressed.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Every Monday, you will be able to hear their stories, and every Thursday, I will bring to you great insights, tips, and advice on specific topics and challenges of relocation. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Do you feel the need to build your own source of accomplishment besides being a great partner and a great parent? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Amel Deraghi, and I'm so excited to present to you our guest today, Laura Moreno Cabanillas.
Yay!
Hi, Laura. Are you ready for the ride?
Super ready.
Fantastic. Laura Moreno Cabanillas is originally from Spain. She lived in Turkey, where she started her entrepreneurial journey, and moved to the US a year and a half ago with her husband. She is the host of the Growth Hacking podcast, and she advises companies in business development, sales, and international trade. She also teaches the principles of growth hacking. And her mission in life is to help 300 million people be happier. Laura, before you get to tell us a bit more about your personal life, could you tell us what growth hacking means? And how are you actually planning to help 300 million people be happier?
Growth hacking basically is the science of helping online companies, and online companies, I mean like e-commerce sites or SaaS companies, you know, companies that sell software online, to increase their revenue very fast. And we help them maybe getting more traffic to their site or optimizing their landing page when they're going to pay. You know, there's many ways of making more revenue online. So that's growth hacking, which is super exciting. And how I plan to help 300 million people, that's, you know, that's in the books, is my mission in life. At this point, I have a plan, but, you know, it is hard, but I'm going to try to achieve it. And even if I get to 200 million, you know, it's still a path. How I try to do it is every day I try to help someone for sure. And then anyone that asks for my help, I try to help. And then in the future, I'm planning to write a book about gratefulness and how to become happier and so on. So work in progress.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I've seen in one of your emails a little message at the end saying, did I make you happy? And once we click on it, I think we could like fill out a form or something like that. Can you tell us more about this great idea?
Well, I was thinking, it's like, okay, how am I going to count how many people I'm helping? Like every day I'm helping people, but how am I going to, at the end of my day, say, yeah, I help 250,071 people. So I decided to create this table, this poll. And if you want to fill it in and say, yeah, she helped me doing this, then I'll say, I will look back and I say, well, that's one person. And I will remember also what happened.
Wow, that's beautiful. Fantastic idea.
Thank you.
So let's get to your life. Tell us more about your background and how you got to live now in the US.
So I was born in Spain 35 years ago, 35 beautiful years ago. and since I was little, I wanted to move abroad and work abroad. So since I'm 18, I've been working abroad. And when I was 30 years old, I met my husband in Turkey. He was American, and we got married in Turkey and then decided to move to the States. Yeah.
Wow. So you made the decision together, or was it a job that your husband or you had when you moved to New York?
We actually made the decision together. First of all, the situation in Turkey, I moved here a year and a half ago, and the situation in Turkey was getting worse. You know, lots of, the president is kind of pretty bad, you know, it was getting worse and worse. And then the options were America or Spain. And in Spain, there's a huge crisis now going on. So we decided to move to America.
Wonderful. So who found the job first?
Josh, my husband. Yeah. He did first. Yeah, he found it first. Yeah. That was actually one of the hardest parts of my life, I think. And I think we will cover it later. Yeah. But that was the first time in my life I had no income. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard.
So it was risky for you to take this decision and you still did it.
Yes, because, you know, I had been in Turkey, I had a company, and it's kind of weird to talk a lot about myself, so interrupt me and start talking about you any time. So in Turkey, I had a company, and for the first time, I was a business owner, and I was doing well. You know, I was not making a huge amount of money, but I was doing pretty well. So when we moved to the US, I decided to stop my company and I started from zero. While my husband, Josh, he's American. He's been working for American companies all his life. And I think it was easier for him to find a job. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while also to know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That was also a big point. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So if you're in a networking party, I'm sure you go to a lot of those parties in New York. So, and somebody asks you, what do you do? What's your answer in 10 seconds?
I help companies make more money online. Yep.
Wow. That's straightforward. Fantastic.
Straightforward.
Let's talk a bit about your podcast. What could Nomad Nation learn from your podcast if they listen to it?
So the podcast is... Actually, I know you have an amazing podcast and I love it. And a podcast is actually a great tool to figure out what you want to do further and also to learn a lot from other people. So the podcast started as a project like, okay, I'm going to interview other growth hackers and figure out what is this about? What is growth hacking about? I more or less knew what it was about, but I was like, okay, let me learn from the experts. And that kind of made me an expert too after almost a year. So the podcast started as a personal project, but it's been an amazing decision, and it's brought me lots of clients and lots of amazing contacts and also lots of training on growth hacking.
What kind of people do listen to your podcast?
So the people who are listening to my podcast are mainly entrepreneurs that have a business and they are trying to grow it fast. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, you have limited amount of money and limited amount of time. So in the podcast, the people that come to the podcast are other growth hackers or other business owners that have grown their company really, really fast. So I ask them how they did it, what is the biggest piece of advice, which tools they use, who they learn from. So to give hints to other people so they can grow their company also really fast.
Wonderful. So let's talk about one of the motivations, I guess, of working hard and building a company. What are your revenue streams and how do you earn income?
So as I said, like when I moved to the US for a good a year, which sounds like a lot of time. I want to talk a little bit about the psychology of depending on someone.
Yeah.
when you haven't ever depended on anyone.
Oh, go ahead. This is the whole point of this episode.
It's crazy. It's crazy. From one day to another one, you don't have money in your pocket. Okay, you do have money in your pocket because it's your husband's money. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're married and everything. Yeah, everything in paper sounds good. But your inside is such a mess. I don't know why. I suppose I value person, you know, I relate a lot someone to money. You are worth as much as you earn, which is totally wrong. I get that. It's super wrong. But as much as you earn is kind of how you value yourself. So if I was earning zero, I was zero. I was a zero completely for a year. And even though my husband was like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. You know, there's money enough for both. Even though I had financial security, I felt really insecure and I felt so stressed, really, really stressed.
I can imagine. And how did you overcome then this feeling?
So at the beginning, I was trying to make money online. So because I am an entrepreneur, so I was like, oh, I'm going to make a business and I'm going to make it happen and I'm going to go back to where I was. And because things were taking longer to happen, to the money to come, I was feeling more and more stressed. You know, I was working really hard every day, but still the money was coming very slowly. And then at one point, my husband said, well, why don't you find a job? And for a long time, I was also like, no way, I cannot find a job. I've been 5 years working for myself. I cannot do that. But I got to do it. So now I'm working for a new company. So that's okay. So what I learned is it's okay. You can be an entrepreneur, but what I learned is basically get a job. Figure out what you want to do. Start building your other income streams while you have a fixed income stream. And then slowly make the transition. Because what I wanted to do was like straight away, you know, I'm going to start from zero and the money is going to come. And that was very, very stressing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going in a two-step. Okay, I'm getting a job. I'm figuring out what I want to do and how my income is going to come. And then I will transition.
Interesting.
At the moment, the income streams that I have is my job now is 80%, 90% of what I earn is my job now. Mm-hmm. And then I have other things apart from my job that are kind of 10% of my income.
Can you tell us what's your job and what's the other 10%?
Mm-hmm. So I work as a growth hacker, which, as I said, I'm working for a company to make them more money.
That's a beautiful mission, too.
So if I make them more money, everything goes fine. If I don't make them more money, it's like, uh-oh, something's going wrong. And for the moment, it's going well.
Very nice.
Then the other 10%, this is what I was living with before, which was stressing because it was 10% of what I wanted to earn. The other 10% are courses I'm giving online. So I'm teaching courses on growth hacking online. And I'm also, I love affiliate marketing and passive income. So I promote 2 or 3 products online. So for example, I will send to my tweet list, I took this course and I loved it, sign in here. And if they buy the course, maybe I earn $100 or $200. So that's another 10%. So that's, you know, the courses, and that is 10% for the moment.
Nomad Nation, I hope that you're really taking as much advantage of what just Laura shared with us. You know, there is different ways to earn income. The first one is to take a job, and so many other amazing ways to make income, as little as it can be at the beginning, but at least a start is online, all the magic of affiliation, passive income, and all the other ways. So maybe, Laura, you can explain to Nomad Nation, because we're going to talk a lot in this podcast, different episodes about passive income, but maybe you can introduce us to passive income. Could you define it?
Yeah, I actually love passive income. Passive income is like, I've been trying to build passive income forever. And I started creating a company. I think creating a company is going to give me passive income, but not so much because it was a consulting company and that's a lot of daily work. What you want to build is streams of passive income. Passive income means, for example, you write a blog post and you add a link to an affiliate link. So if people sign up, they pay you $20, $10, $50, $100. And as more posts you create and more of those links you create, more passive income may come to you. Now, this is why it's really important. There's something different with there's something important in passive income, which is there are 2 types of things you can do. You can send a tweet to your Twitter list or send a link to your tweet to your followers. But that's not a good link for you because that link is going to be forgotten. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to write blog posts. You want to create videos, things that are going to stay there for years to come. Yeah. So, you know, as you're going to get growing, you're going to get more traffic, and then people are going to start clicking more in your links. While in the first case, they're gone. Yeah. They're not going to, you're not, no one is going to see them anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I want to insist on this fact, you know, that when we hear for the first time passive income, we can think like, okay, it's income that comes without working, you know, the one who's initiating it is being passive. No, it's the income that's coming in a passive stream, which is basically demanding a lot of creation of content and a lot of presence online, which demands a lot of efforts. But the optimization of this income is the one that's called passive income. We'll talk more about it.
Totally, totally. And there's things like passive income is a lot of work at the beginning, but there's good compensation at the end. But it's kind of a train. It takes a lot of time to make it go. But as soon as it starts going, it keeps on going.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
And let's go to your partnership, your tandem. Which role does each of you in your tandem take during a time of transition or change? How do you support each other in the move?
So my husband, when we moved, he was financially helping the family move. So he actually took care of the finances. And I took care of myself, I suppose. No, I mean, what I mean is like I took care of finding what was going to be my job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The moving was exciting. Again, for him, I think it was much easier because he's from America and he was coming to the States to see his family. For me, it was challenging. It was really exciting because I'm living in New York and this is a great city. But again, mentally, because of the loss of income, it was pretty stressing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not being able to go shopping. I don't know how many of you like shopping, but, you know, feeling guilty buying things, you know, that's the worst.
Well, I know that feeling. It was the same for me when I started this journey the first month. Although the relationship is all about trust, and even if the partner doesn't put any pressure, there is a pressure there, a bit of a guilt. Although the relationship might go great and that the partner might not put the pressure on making you feel dependent and anything, but I think it's important to realize that when we're making the move, it's kind of normal that at the beginning we depend on that income that the spouse is earning, and we should not feel that guilty as long as we make sure to commit to ourselves to find our zone of genius and our area where we could grow, and not only for the money but also for personal development.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
How did you prepare when you moved? What did you do to prepare yourself before you arrived?
I suppose I didn't prepare myself too much. We did the luggage. I closed the company. Yeah, that was a big preparation, you know. I closed a company I had been running for 4 years. So, you know, passing the papers to someone else, and I was trying to sell the company. And so that was the main preparation. And then some people say maybe taking a language course, but I was already pretty fluent in English. Mm-hmm. So not huge. We were looking for apartments here. I mean, apart from that, no more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you were waiting to settle down before starting to find your path, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about the challenges you had when you arrived, because you mentioned a few of them. One of them is feeling so dependent. But can you describe us a moment that you consider like your toughest experience?
Yes. So when I arrived, I arrived in April 2014, I think it is. When I arrived, first of all, I didn't have a job. So at the beginning, I was thinking, I'm going to do what I was doing in Turkey, but in this country, which, no, didn't work. So first idea, to the bin. Then my second idea was like, I'm going to start a startup. No. Second idea, to the bin. And then the third idea was kind of, I'm going to be a life coach because I love coaching, I love people, but it didn't work neither. So the fourth idea, which was like, oh, I love growth hacking, I love marketing, that's the one that sticks. So the first challenge was basically trying to figure out what I wanted to do, which was hard. Second challenge was I didn't know I was going to, you know, my family's in Spain. My husband's family is here, and I miss a lot my family in Spain, and I didn't know I was going to be so far away. Mm-hmm. Of course, I knew, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So second challenge was keeping in touch with my family, and I have a sister in Brazil who could totally listen to your podcast, and the rest of my family is all in Spain, so trying to call them, find the balance, you know, make them not forget about you, or make them, you know, they are also pretty scared that you're going to forget about them. So trying to find that balance is also challenging. And a third challenge was, again, money, financial. You know, you're on yourself dealing with money and saying, oh, my God, I have all this money in the account, but it's not mine, but it's mine, but it's not mine.
Well, did you know if there was like a particular moment that you can describe us where you felt like, okay, now I'm overwhelmed?
Yes, sure. New York is, I don't know if this is an I am overwhelmed, but New York is a big, big city, but it's also, as you know, it's also really dirty. So I felt overwhelmed like a few times when I was going back in the train and, you know, there's kind of dirt everywhere and there's so many people and you feel you're still a foreigner in the country and you don't know where you're going, you don't know nothing. So that moment, I think I felt overwhelmed and I didn't want to stay in New York. I was like, this is too big for me. But that was at the beginning. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Did you have any culture shock when you arrived here?
No, I had more culture shock moving to Turkey. But moving to the US, it was pretty straightforward.
So what was it in Turkey?
Wow, in Turkey, there was so much the language. Are you kidding me? The language in Turkey is so difficult. Mm-hmm. And then men in Turkey are very different. The taxi drivers, they hit on you and you say, they say, do you have a boyfriend? And if you say, yeah, he's American, then they keep on hitting on you. But if you say, you have a boyfriend, it's like, yeah, is he Turkish? It's like, oh, yeah, he's Turkish. And they are like, oh, yeah, Turkish men are the best. And they don't hit on you. So that's pretty funny. Living in a Muslim country also, you know, where you have to kind of respect the traditions. Yes. But again, moving to the US, it was pretty easy.
You've been like listing some of the challenges and they were very interesting. What did you learn from those challenges?
I am still learning that I have to take it easy. I tend to rush. I tend to want success really fast. And New York is like, take it easy is very, it's kind of a stressing city. Mm-hmm. So, and everyone is rushing everywhere. So at some point, you need to stop and say, why am I going fast? Or why am I want to get there so fast? So I suppose they made me learn, like, enjoy the moment, enjoy.
Yeah, very important. Before we get to your strength, tell me, what would be one of your weaknesses or habits that you would like to change?
What I said, taking things slower. Mm. And I suppose being more careful with myself. I tend to have some, not accidents, but you know, kind of, I tend to rush and not to think twice before doing things. Mm. So I would love to think twice more often.
I see. I guess it comes from our Mediterranean cultures.
I suppose. Do you also rush?
Rush the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what is now your biggest strength that helped you be successful in your nomadic life?
Okay. Thankfulness, gratitude. For sure, that's my biggest strength and what makes a huge difference in my life. Like, gratitude is all, and this is how I want to help people with. I want to make them realize how gratitude is so powerful. And I know it looks a little bit like, oh yeah, thank you for things or thank you for the bill, but it's more being thankful for everything you're living at every single moment. And 5 years ago or 7 years ago, you know, it's a story that changed my life. 7 years ago, I was about to get married with my boyfriend from that time, you know, long time ago, and the relationship didn't work. And I was so in love. I was so into this that for 6 months I was kind of depressed. I didn't go to any doctor or anything, but I was really crying every night and had a horrible time until I found a coach. And the coach told me, you know, gratitude. Start walking in the mornings and saying for, you know, you walk and half an hour you say, thank you for my feet. Thank you for the day. Thank you for my mouth. Thank you for... And that has changed my life so much. So much.
I can believe it.
I am so happy and fortunate and now because of that. Seriously, I'm even like having, how do you call this, chicken?
Boom, chicken bums.
Yeah. I'm like a chicken now. So, I wake up in the morning and I do 20 minutes of gratitude. You know, I write down things that I'm grateful for that day or the day before. And being grateful for things has totally changed my life and keeps on changing my life for good. Gratitude equals happiness. And I see so many people that go in life and they keep on complaining and, oh, this is, oh, I hate the traffic. Oh, keep on that way. You know, if you keep on that way, you're going to dig in your hole. While seriously, it's like, you better change. The opposite side is like, well, yeah, I'm in a traffic jam. I'm going to read my book. I have a book. This is wonderful. A great opportunity to thank you. Thank you, universe, for making me read now in the train. You know, mm-hmm. Gratitude.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's so important for me to talk about gratitude. And I'm so happy that you brought up this topic. It's for me, there's no way to be happy without gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced it in the most poorest countries in the world. People are smiling and they're happy. you know, because they know how to enjoy the little things of life. And this is important. The more we have, the more we want in this world. And I think being an expat, we are one of the most, I think, lucky people in the world, because we get to travel and everything. We do go through a lot of challenges, but we can go through those challenges by being grateful and exercising gratitude. It's an exercise. Like you just said it, you wake up every morning and you say 2, 3, or 4 affirmations every day to make sure that you don't forget your gratitude.
Yeah, I agree. Wonderful. It makes like, if you are feeling unfortunate now, start saying thank you, and then in 6 months you're going to see the difference. It's so fast.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what is the biggest change you had to manage in your life abroad? And how did you do it?
So this question, you know, I've been living abroad for 15 years now. So it doesn't apply only to living in the US. Mm-hmm. The biggest change is, well, first of all, do you mean like making friends? You need to change kind of your personality. If you're an introvert, you need to become a little bit more extrovert. Mm-hmm. And the biggest change is actually getting out of your house, mm-hmm. which I am a pretty homey person. I love staying in, watching a movie. Mm-hmm. I love that. But when you're an expat, when you live abroad, you need to go out. You need to leave your house. And if you have children, you need to hire someone to take care of the children and get the hell out of your house.
Thank you for saying that again. Great advice. Exactly. I mean, we have to go out there to meet the world and to meet the people in our host country and start having a life. It's not by staying home that it will work. And I like that you brought up the kids, because it can be a huge handicap. I know a lot of expat partners who have kids and say, yeah, it's great advice, but how do I do when I have 3 kids at home? It's important to invest in yourself by investing in trusting people, taking care of your kids while you go out, and build your own happiness so that your kids can be happy too, right?
I remember my mom was working for a while in the UK, and I think she was an au pair. You know what's now au pair? Like someone taking care of children. And her boss will always have one day for herself where she will go to London and spend the day in London with her friends and going shopping, and the children will be at home with the au pair, with the kangaroo.
Wow.
Yes, make time for yourself. Make time for yourself. Your husband is going to be happier also.
It's true. I don't know what you mean by that, but
yeah, because when you're at home, you're going to be like, oh, now he arrived home and now I did everything and he's been out all day. While when you come back and you're fresh and like happy and, yeah, you know, he's going to notice that.
I agree with you. And I guess the husband, as we were talking here of the cases of spouses who usually have the role of taking care of the kids, the husband has as much responsibility in taking care of the kids. So I believe in this is why I asked a lot of questions to the guests in Tandem Nomad. How do you share responsibilities and how do you support each other? And I believe that the partnership is about also having equal tasks as the one also sharing the task of raising the kids.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Well, we don't have kids. I hope we're not getting out of boundaries here. But speaking from my friend's experience. And share with us one personal habit that you have and that contributes to your success and happiness. You just talked about gratitude. But is there something else?
Having a routine. Mm-hmm. Building a routine. So it is important to make time for yourself and wake up a little bit earlier, maybe half an hour, 1 hour, and think about, you know, there's a fantastic book from Darren Hardy called Your Best Year Ever. And it actually makes you make a routine that you're going to follow every single day. So what I do, my routine is I wake up at 5:36 and I have 1 hour for myself to look at my goals, to do my gratitude exercises, and that makes a change. Yeah. Everything can go wrong or everything can mess up during the day. I've already done my routine and I know where I'm going.
Yeah, it can really help build stability. I believe this is why I insist on this question on habits, because I believe that even more when we live abroad, habits and routines are the secret sauce actually to be happy and to build stability in an unstable environment, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
I agree. Yeah.
So what would be now your biggest advice for our listeners to make the best out of their experience abroad? to reach stability and develop a feeling of fulfillment. We just talked again of routine, but is there something else?
Get out of the house. I mean, get out of the house and meet people. That's really, really important. And I know maybe the first people that you meet, start going to meetings with people. And I'm sure the first meetings are going to be pretty bad or not interesting. And this is not the people you normally hang around in your country. Mm-hmm. But they know other people, and slowly you're going to find your tribe, your people. So even if you don't feel like, you know, leave the house, make new friends wherever you all go.
So what's your tip to meet people easily? What are the ways?
Yeah, in New York is very easy. In New York, there's something called Meetup, mm-hmm. which is an app that you can download in your mobile. And this is is from around the world, for everywhere. It's called meetup.com. And you, depending on your situation, it tells you, you know, Monday there's like 3 meetings in within 500 meters away from you, something like that. And you join the meeting and you go and meet total strangers with maybe common interests. They like playing table tennis, or they like doing coaching, or you meet people. My advice will be to look at this kind of websites. I think for expats, there's Internations. Yeah. So start looking at Internations, which meetings they have. Start looking at your Chamber of Commerce, which kind of events they have, because those networking events, they're going to give you work, maybe. You know, my sister goes all the time to networking events, and she's had like 3-4 job offers in the last year and a half.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So, yeah, if you want to get a job.
Yeah, so you've gave at least 3 tips here. For example, the meetups. Meetups are just amazing. And Internations, I also highly recommend Internations, although it has the image of being a place for single people. But but why not turn it around, you know, and create, we can all create like private groups within Internations. So why not just create a group that has your own interest and make people join your group? Mm-hmm. And the third one is whatever institutions that exist in your town, in your city, like you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm sure there's a lot of associations. I know like for expats, there's a lot of associations called Welcome to, for example, Paris, Welcome to, you know, whatever city you are in. You should just look at online more than if it's not business that you're interested, it can be anything else. So there are different ways to find networking group, and I'm sure that in every country there's at least a minimum of choice to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start now the spinning round. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, hold ready. Your breath.
I'm spinning.
So what are your plans for the next coming 2 years?
So plans include becoming a top 5 in what I'm doing in growth hacking, which this is why I'm more like working really hard and I'm studying a lot and, you know, becoming a top in my field. Then we want to have a baby, so we're there. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, as they say in Turkey.
Inshallah.
Hopefully we'll have a baby soon. And, you know, increase my income, start a family and stay here in the U.S.,
fantastic.
For the next 2 years, yeah.
Fantastic. Do you have an internet resource like Skype that you found useful for your nomadic life?
Skype is amazing, but I have another one here that I'm going to give you, which is for if you need to call mobiles. And Skype for mobiles is pretty pricey. But with this app, you can call mobiles with the price of a local cost. So it's pretty mm-hmm. cool. It's called Mobile VoIP. Mobile and then VoIP.
Interesting.
VoIP.
Okay.
And you can call mobile numbers with the same cost as a local call. I yes. use that one all the time. All the time.
Fantastic. How different is it, for example, from WhatsApp?
Can you call in WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can call. Damn it.
Sorry.
Wait a second. Well, you don't pay anything with WhatsApp?
Well, actually, no, you don't pay anything. Let me just support your tip because WhatsApp doesn't always work perfectly. So
okay, the difference is, for example, my mom doesn't have a smartphone, so mm-hmm. she doesn't have WhatsApp or internet. So I don't think I will be able to call her in WhatsApp.
Exactly. I like
would
that
I be
you
able
brought
to?
Up. Yeah. No, your tool is definitely useful because, well, first of all, not everybody knows how to download WhatsApp, especially if it's parents, like you mentioned, but also not everybody has it. So if you really need to contact somebody, it's a great tool. So can you say it again? Which one is it?
Yeah, mobile. You got me there. I was like, what?
I just catched that up. I just catched you up. It's fine. Don't worry. It's good. It's good.
Oh, wow. Mobile, like mobile, MOBILE, and then VoIP. Mobile VoIP.
Mobile VoIP. Very good. Thank you.
Or the other name, which is actually the same company, is Ringa. R-Y-N-G-A. Ringa.
Okay. You mentioned a book previously. Is there any other book that you would recommend for Nomad Nation?
Yeah, it's a book about gratitude. I know it's thankfulness or gratitude. And it's from, it's called The Magic. And it's from the author of The Secret. And this book is called Magic. And it's all about, there's like 30 days of gratitude routines you can do. And it's really good. It gives you great ideas, like having a gratitude rock or doing 100 steps of gratitude. Or yeah, it's a fantastic book.
Before we say goodbye, how can we reach you and how can we get to know more about you?
Well, my website is lauramoreno.com. lauramoreno.com. And you can send me a message there. That would be the best way, actually, because my email is super long.
Fantastic. I'll put that all in the show notes page of this episode. And I really want to thank you, Laura. You've been sharing so many great insights here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in the podcast. I'm very, very happy to be here.
Very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nomad Nation, don't miss any of the great inspiration, tips, and insights that will prepare just for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter.